إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, in the last of the series which we have been doing on entering into Islam completely and fully, I remind myself anew that it is a unique principle of Islam that Islamic culture, Islamic society is based on two principal fundamental things. One is responsibility for others, and two is accountability to Allah. Responsibility for others and accountability to Allah. About responsibility for others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Allah said, you are the best of people and you have been selected for the people. You have been selected for the benefit of others. You have been selected and made responsible for others. And about accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course we know. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, on the day of judgment, you will be shown every single evil deed and good deed that you did, even if it is as small as a dharra. Allah knows the meaning of dharra, وَاللَّهُ عَلَمُ. So the point is that these are the two principles. Interesting fact that you might like to reflect upon is that if you look at the ayat of the Quran and if you look at the hadith, you will find not one, but you will find multiple, many dozens of them, more than that, maybe hundreds of them. Wallahu alam, if you look at all the collection of hadith, referring to rights of people, other people. What are the rights of neighbors on you? What is the right of your spouse, your wife or husband on you? What are the rights of children? Right? What are the rights of customers? This, that, rights of other people. Continuously, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if somebody denies you your rights, you give them their rights. Right? To the extent, we are not even talking about justice, we are talking about something far more than justice. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you are weighing to a customer, give him more than what he has paid for. Why should you give him more? You paid me for something, I give you exact amount. What is wrong with that? No. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he did not say that is wrong. He said, no, that is not. Issue is you give more. You give more. He said, you are responsible for your neighbors. How many? Not your next door neighbor. 70 of them on either side of your house. Rasulullah said, Jibreel alayhi salam came and he emphasized the rights of neighbors to me to such an extent that I thought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now going to send wahi to say, your neighbors have to be included in your inheritance. He's not saying Muslim neighbors. Neighbors. And if anyone says, no, but you know, they were only Muslims, I will tell them, go read history. They were not only Muslims. They were Muslims, there were other people also. So the point is, responsibility for others. Now you might say, now, so as I said, you will find multiple ayat and hadith about fulfilling the rights of others. To the best of my knowledge, there is not even one single ayah or one single hadith which tells you, ensure you get your rights, demand your rights, take your rights. Isn't it strange? So if there was an ayat or a hadith to say, take your rights, we are telling the wives, ensure your husband gives you his rights, gives you your rights. You're telling the husband, ensure that your wife gives you your rights. If that was the case, why? What was wrong with that? There's nothing, if I tell you, you must ensure you get your rights, what's wrong with that? Why is it not there? Because if you fulfill your duties, your rights automatically get fulfilled. So there are multiple ahadith and ayat about duties, meaning other people's rights on you, but there is nothing about demanding or taking your own rights. Because if you fulfill your duties, rights automatically get fulfilled. If the wife says, I am not going to think about my rights vis-a-vis my husband, I am going to say, let me fulfill my duties to the husband. So has the husband got his rights? Naturally. And vice versa, the husband says, I am not going to worry about, is my wife giving me what is due to me? Forget that. I am going to say, am I giving her what is due to her? Let me make sure that I fulfill that completely. And little more. So has she received her rights? Without asking. And that's why I always say, fulfill your duties, don't worry about the rights, because you will be questioned about duties, not about rights. Allah will not question you and say, did you receive your rights? No, He said, did you fulfill your duties? So responsibility for others and accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from whom nothing is hidden. Allah knows our intentions, Allah knows our actions. 24/7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, He is listening, He knows. Alimum bizati sudur, He knows even what is in our hearts. This is the basic principle of Islam, and that's the reason I'm saying this is because, when, as I said on the first day, if you want the benefit of a system, you have to adopt the whole system. You can't say, I will take one piece out of the system and then I will leave the rest of the system. As happens most of the time. People come to me sometimes, you know, marriages are breaking up. So they come and say, this is what is happening and so on and so on. So I ask them, first of all, how did you come to this marriage? What were you looking at when you were contemplating this marriage? When they were contemplating the marriage, there was no dakhal, there was no interference, to use the word in the right context, of Allah or Rasul. The marriage, when you're looking at the marriage, the spouse, the husband, is this woman, is she very beautiful, is she tall, is this and that, is she fair? The very much, go look in the mirror yourself, then you, before you make all these demands, right? Which family and so on and so forth. For the husband, what does he earn? Where does he work? What is all of this? No one will ask a single question to say, does he pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid? Does she pray 5 times a day? Does she have hijab or not? Does she do hijab or not? Is the man and the woman, both of them, are they on the Sharia of Islam? How careful are they about earning and eating halal? These questions they are never asked. They are never asked. Then when the thing comes, issue of wedding itself, every single, you know, custom and practice, all kinds of khurafat, you do all of that in the wedding. So you make sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely displeased in every possible way. Just displeasing Allah in one way is not enough. You must make sure that He is displeased in many ways. And then when the whole thing falls apart, now there is a problem. Now you come and say, no. In Islam, what rights do I have? Which Islam? Huh? Which Islam? There was no Islam at the time of the payam, of the contemplation or the negotiation of the wedding. There was no Islam in the actual wedding. There was no Islam anywhere. Now suddenly when things are falling apart, no, what is my haq? Your haq is a boot in the backside. I mean, what haq? Seriously, I mean, the point is that this is the game we play. This is the game we play. We say Islam is very unjust because a woman gets half the share of a man. But we don't say anything about the fact that the brothers will eat up the share of the sister. They will not give the sister her share. And they will say, no, your father, when you were getting married, our father, you know, gave this great wedding party in this big function hall or whatever, and you know, you were lowered by with your husband from a crane or something. All kinds of nonsense that they do. So he spent, father spent so much money on your wedding, so therefore no share for you. So it's a compounding of two evils. First of all, the father was not supposed to spend all that, so he spent it, and now you are denying her her share. Whereas Islam says the reason she gets half a share, again, issue of responsibility, is why? Because she is not responsible for anyone. She is, first of all, complete and total independent owner of all her wealth. Whether she earned it, whether she got it as a gift from her parents or brothers or whoever, whether she got it as a gift from the husband, whatever she gets, it is hers. Nobody has any right on it. Her children don't have a right on it. Husband has no right on it. Parents have no right on it. Nobody has any right on it. It's hers completely and totally to do with as she wants. Husband is supposed to look after her, and husband is supposed to give her money which is hers. Many people are under this mistaken impression that you are giving money to your wife to run the house and this is her nafka. It's not a nafka. Running the house is your problem, it's not her problem. You are giving her money to run the house, she is doing you a favor by running the house. You still have to give her money for herself, which she can do with what she wants. And if you are not doing that, you are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Now, in times of inheritance, yes, she gets half a share, but the man, he gets double share in the inheritance, but he is responsible for her, he is responsible for the children, he is responsible for his parents, he is responsible for his own brothers and sisters if they need anything. His whole life, he has to take care of all of them. The wife has a right on his wealth, he has no right on her wealth. So now if you look at this whole system together, you will say, no, this system is fair, alhamdulillah. There is nothing unjust in this. But we don't want to look at the whole system. We want to look at one piece of the system. As I said on the first day, take any law in the world. You take one piece, it will seem as if it is unjust. Take the issue of yatama. Take the issue of the orphans. Yeah, we set up yatim khanas. We set up orphanages. What is the Islamic system of taking care of orphans? Is it to set up an orphanage? Today you are doing that. I'm not saying it is haram. But is that an Islamic system? What is the Islamic system? The Islamic system is to raise the orphan in your home like your child. The orphan retains the name of his father or her father. We don't give the name. We are not adopting as in inheriting and so on and so on. But the Islamic way is to raise the orphan in your home. Why? What is the greatest loss of the orphan? Is it money? There are some orphans who are very wealthy. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in the Quran. In Surah An-Nisa, the ayat relating to orphan girls has to do with their wealth. So nothing to do with money. It is the loss of parents. This loneliness, it's the loss of, you know, the emotional support of parents, emotional support of a family. How does an orphan get that when you have shunted them off into one institution to be taken care of by paid servants? Are they getting more lonely or less lonely? Do they feel even more discarded or less discarded? Islam says, raise them in your house. The way of taking care of orphans is to raise them in your house with your children, like your children. Let the poor child feel that the child has a parent. There is a young sahabi called Bashir, radiallahu anhu. So in the Battle of Uhud, his father went with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This Bashir had no mother. His mother had passed away. So father was the single parent. So after, when the army is coming back from Uhud, this little boy, he climbed up on some rock or something, and he's looking at the army to see, where is my father? He does not see his father. And finally he saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he ran to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, where is my father? So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam picked him up in his arms and he said, Your father is Shaheed fi Sabilillah. So little Bashir started crying. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I already had no mother. Now my father also is gone. Who is there for me in this world? Rasulullah ﷺ hugged him and said, I am your father. And Aisha is your mother. Did he say, no, don't worry, we have created an orphanage, we'll put you there. Did he say, no, all right, here, come, take Bashir to somebody else. He could have done that. There were enough people around. He could have said, here, somebody please take this orphan, take care of him. No. Himself. I will be your father. I am your father. That little boy knew what he was getting. He said, Alhamdulillah. This is the Islamic system. Now imagine if we live like this, and we should live like this. If every Muslim lives with a sense of responsibility for everyone around himself and herself, for the neighbors, for the family, for the environment, for the birds and beasts, for the street, for the house, for the city, for the country. Every Muslim lives with this sense of responsibility for others. He's not worried about, are they giving me? He's not interested in that. I must give them. If every Muslim lives like this, tell me, what will be the status of Muslims in the world? Will they not be the most highly respected and the most highly loved people in the world? Now you might say, how can we do this? I'll tell you how you can do that. I mentioned this also in one of my khutbas earlier. Muslims are supposed to be 20% of the global population, right? 1.5 billion Muslims, 4 times that non-Muslims, totally coming to around 7 billion. So, for every 5 people, one is a Muslim. So, 1 Muslim, 4 non-Muslims. This is the population demographic of the world. 20% Muslims, 80% non-Muslims. So, if each Muslim decides that I am going to take care of 4 people, that's it. Not 5 people, 4 people. 4 non-Muslims. I am going to be responsible for 4 people. I am going to ensure that 4 people in this world think that I am the best thing that happened to them. That's it. You've got the whole world covered. You have the whole world covered by taking care of 4 people. Can we do that? 4 people? How difficult is that? Just make sure that you are taking care of 4 people. All you need to do is make sure, do you need anything? Alhamdulillah. If you need, I am here for you. That's it. You may not even need to do anything. But if you need to do something, do it. Because we are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. Just 4 people. Each Muslim, if he takes care of 4 non-Muslims, we have the whole world covered and you will be the most beloved people to the whole world. Because people like those who give. Nobody likes those who take. So if we become givers, as Allah sent us to be, there is no doubt in my mind that we will become the most beloved people on the face of the earth. But we have to make that effort. One, each one of us responsible for 4 people. That's it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to give us the tawfiq to live our lives according to the beautiful sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and to live in a way that is pleasing to him jalla jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.